All right. Do you want to, can we say some nice things about the, do you want to say nice things to the people who are supporting?
Hi, this is Katie and I'm here to say nice things. No. I would just like to say some nice things.
That's not going to work.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say it.
See if you can do it better.
Welcome to another episode of the Struggling Sisters Pod. As Katie likes to call it.
Here we are.
Here we are. We are thankful for you. You are the reason we're doing this, and we hope that you love it. Thank you for your support on Patreon.
Thanks, y'all.
See, that was better.
It was better. Yeah. You're really good at this.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast.
Hey, ladies, welcome back. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you are already enough. This is episode 143, and I am talking to Kevin Madsen. I do not often interview men, so you know that he's got something really great to say if he is showing up on this mom podcast. Before we start, though, I just want to remind you, at the top of the show, you heard a tiny snippet of the Struggling Sisters show. This is a show that my sister and I do twice a month for supporters of the show. So if you're interested in more laughing, learning the things that we researched about, and the ability to contribute to what we're doing here each week, we would love to have you join us. You can head over to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell and start listening to all the episodes that we've released up to this point. Just last week, we released our Emmy predictions, and I can tell you how well-educated my guesses were because I thought the Emmys were movies, but it turns out they're television, so I'm learning a lot here. But it was a really fun conversation, so go check that out. I actually was super pumped and encouraged by spending almost a whole entire week with my sister. She drove south and I drove north, and we ended up in Nashville with our kids, and we had the best time slash the most exhausting time ever. I don't know if you guys saw my Insta stories about it, but we chose an Airbnb location that was totally fine. It just may not have been totally fine for two adults and four children. It was a studio apartment on a busy street. One door opened up out to the main road, and it was really easy to open the door, and the three-year-old figured out how to do it real quick. And then the other door opened up right into a parking garage, so there was just ways to die everywhere, and only one giant room with nothing to dampen the sound. And so there was just, there was a lot happening, but we all had a really great time. So the more you get to know my sister, the more you're going to love her. And I am excited to share her with y'all more and more in the coming months. We have some neat things that we're cooking up for you. So I am talking, like I said, to Kevin Madsen. He is a fellow podcaster. He's also a small business owner. He's just launched this new product that I really think would benefit and bless y'all's families. He was struck by kind of the monotony of being a dad and how he didn't really know exactly how to be successful at it, and he felt like the things his kids liked doing, he didn't really like doing, and he realized he wasn't the only one that felt this way. And so him and his wife have started a subscription box, and he's going to tell you about it, but it's really cool. I just got one at my house, and the kids are dying to break into it and do all the things with my husband. So we talk about that. We also talk about how moms can support dads in their roles at work. I asked him about that because sometimes I get resentful of my husband because I think he's gone to work. That must mean he's having a great time, and I am doing all these house things that feel like death. But I just get ridiculous sometimes because he's incredibly helpful and supportive and all those great things. But the work-life, quote-unquote, balance, it's not easy, guys. It's not easy. He talks about how guys can do a better job of trying to intentionally split their time between work and home. There's just a lot going on with work and home and how to do it well. We also talk about, what do you do when you see some kind of addictive tendencies in your kids? How do you handle that without making a big deal? How do you make sure you're making a big deal about it if it actually is? He also talks about some really interesting things during the lightning round, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite parts about this show, because you never know what people are going to say. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right in to my talk with Kevin. So, Kevin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. I've switched into my official radio voice.
Put on my radio voice as well?
As official as possible. That'd be great. It cracks me up when people talk differently. But anyway, I do it myself. So will you please tell us about yourself, your family, and all of the things?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm Kevin, and I am married, and I have 3 kids. I have a 6-year-old, an almost 5-year-old, and an almost 2-year-old. And they are wonderful and psychotic and just all of the things that young kids are.
So many things. Are you done having kids or do you know?
We're definitely done having kids naturally. Okay. We've taken care of that. There's a chance. I thought we were done, but my 2-year-old girl is so amazing that every phase she's in, both my wife and I are kind of like, are we ready to be done with having 2-year-olds forever? Because she's so much fun. So the idea of adopting is, I'd kind of be surprised at this point if we don't, but maybe I think we'll probably take a little break.
Okay. I actually adopted both my kids, but my oldest one was 2 when we adopted her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She was my first one.
Maybe outside of the podcast, so we don't get sidetracked too much, I would love to talk to you a little bit more about that, because we've also talked about the idea of adopting, but like not adopting an infant. So I would love to hear your experience.
Yeah. I really thought that having a baby in my family would make me like babies. And then when we adopted my son, I was like, nope, still not a fan of babies. All right.
I love hearing you say that. My wife had to like come to grips with the fact that she hates being pregnant. And it wasn't until her like 3rd pregnancy that she felt okay saying that, because you're supposed to just be like, it's a miracle and it's wonderful. And obviously there are so many people that work so hard to be pregnant. And so you don't want to be insensitive to that. But she's like, I just hate it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and never having been pregnant, the whole thing really kind of creeps me out.
I kind of feel weird.
Like a guy that way, because I'm like, oh, what's going on in there? It's so funny.
So we have, 3 little ones, and I've sort of always wanted to be a dad. It's something I grew up in a really healthy family and had a good dad and a good mom and all that. But I think once we had kids, and especially maybe because we had kids a little earlier than we were planning, which is a whole other story. Yeah. But I think I didn't realize sort of naively how overwhelming and exhausting, but then also monotonous and repetitive and just all the things that makes sort of parenting. Yeah. I think like most people, until you're in it, you don't realize how relentless all of it is. And as a part of that, I do have, a bunch of good friends that are in a similar stage of life, and just sort of found that there are a lot of resources and community and even just a cultural language around being a mom that that we've built up because moms have been the primary parents since the dawn of time. Mm-hmm. But as dads are getting more and more involved, I was just sort of looking around like, where are my people? Mm-hmm. Where's my story being told? Where am I being depicted anywhere? And where are the resources and activities and et cetera, that are sort of aimed at me? And didn't see much of that. And so out of that, that's sort of where my wife and I started Hey Dad.
I love it. My husband says the same thing, and he is like, wow, you guys have so many neat little things that you're doing, and where are we supposed to join in and do dad things and know how to do dad things and stuff? So that's why I really was excited to talk to you. You mentioned monotony of parenting. Do you know who Sarah Groves is?
Yeah, I love Sarah Groves.
She has a song called Setting Up the Pins. Have you heard it?
Yep.
I love that. That song has become like my parenting. Like, it is just going to be setting up the pins just to knock them down, just to set them up again tomorrow.
Yep.
There's beauty in that. I have bowling pins literally all over my house as a reminder. Yeah. And so when I met Sarah Groves last year sometime, and that's the first thing I said. Well, the first thing I said, I walked up to her and I was like, I don't know why I get so weird. I was like, this dress costs $12. She's like, oh, because I got it.
That is such a fantastic dress. Funny. Nervous opening line.
Oh, I was very nervous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I'm married, because I'm very bad at dating. So I say things like that. So, but then the second thing I said was, I have bowling pins all over my house because of that song that you wrote. And just like, oh, neat.
Oh, yeah. And you see her just like subtly motioning for security.
Yes. Inching away. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Anyway, so funny.
No, that monotonous, repetitive thing, I think and maybe this is just me totally being naive and other people were more ready for this than me, but when I imagined parenting, I imagined the exhilarating, you know, wonderful moments, you know, the like snapshot that you remember for the rest of your life moments. And I also definitely did imagine the like middle of the night exhaustion or just being exasperated with a kid throwing a tantrum. Like, I think I thought a lot about both sides of that like emotional spectrum, but I didn't realize how much of parenting is right in the middle. And it's just doing the same thing we did yesterday. And especially with young kids, like 3, 4, or 5 year olds, who what they really want to do, like they don't naturally orient themselves towards variety and spontaneity as much as they do repetition and safety. And and I think that as a dad, I think I am drawn and sort of need that spontaneity and variety and play, and was just finding myself bored. And like, that was the part where I was like, and then I just feel so guilty about it. And then when I am bored, it's like, then I find myself just looking at my phone again or being distracted, or like you're sort of like sitting with your kid and like hiding your phone behind your leg, and like your kid's not stupid.
They're not.
And then all of a sudden they'll like try to take it away from you. Or like, I had moments with my son when he was like 3, where he would literally look me in the eyes, like we're on some sitcom or movie, and be like, "Daddy, will you put your phone away?" And I just remember being like, oh, just like gutted by that moment. And so I sort of went on this journey from like, okay, so I feel guilty and I'm going to like resolve to do better and, you know, try to create better habits. And a lot of it was actually realizing like, oh, for me to be a great dad, part of it is just creating environments where I can sort of be more successful and be more engaged. And again, that's a lot of what this whole Hey Dad thing is about.
I want to take a moment and tell you about Tommy John underwear. Tommy John has lightweight, breathable fabrics and wedgie-proof designs. With summer heating up, there's a good chance that the cotton boxers in your man's life are not holding up so well, leaving them feeling a little soggy and damp. Gross. Thank goodness, though, that there is underwear from Tommy John. Tommy John has redefined comfort for people everywhere. They have cutting-edge, light-as-a-feather fabric and those wedgie-proof designs that I was telling you about earlier. How do they do it? They guarantee the perfect fit on their underwear. The cool cotton fabric dries 4 to 5 times faster and keeps your man 2 to 3 times cooler than traditional cotton. Plus, all their underwear is backed by the best pair he'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Hurry to TommyJohn.com/MSW for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/MSW for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/MSW.
Okay, so what does that look like? Because I tend to be really black and white. I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram, but I'm a 1. And so I'm kind of perfectionistic. And if I'm going to do it, quote unquote, right, that means that I 100% have to be on all the time and rocking it in every interaction, which is not realistic. And it makes
living
my life
parent.
Difficult. So how have you created those times to be successful as a dad? Because you dads, most dads have less time to have with their kids. And so what is that like when the stakes are kind of higher, maybe they feel like it?
So for me, I think a lot of it is realizing that what my kids need from me. I mean, obviously amongst a whole lot of things, but one of the things they need from me is to just know that I like them and I want to be with them and I enjoy them. And also realizing that I've been with my kids a lot of times when maybe they are having a great time and I'm a little distracted or I'm a little bored, but I've never really had the reverse where I'm with my kids and I'm really engaged and excited and having fun and they're not right there with me. And so I think a lot of it for me was realizing that the secret ingredient is actually me being engaged and me being excited, and then sort of giving myself permission to say, okay, well then what gets me engaged and excited? And let's orient the time with my young kids sort of around that, because I know that if I'm checked in, they'll be checked in.
That's great. So what does that look like? What do you do?
I mean, I'm sure it looks different for every dad, but a lot of it for me is like having a plan, just knowing like, okay, this is what the next sort of hour is going to look like. Because I think maybe what a lot of dads that I know aren't as great at expressing as maybe moms are, if we're painting with really broad strokes, is like confidence issues and insecurity and sometimes when I'm not engaged or checked in as a dad, it's because I like don't really feel like I know what I'm doing. I don't really feel like I know the magic formula for, you know, what's going to be really fun with my kid right now. And so what my wife and I started developing was like, okay, well, what if we had like maybe something that's like a little bit more structured where we're going to have this sort of like experience with our kids.
Okay.
And so out of that came this idea of the Hey Dad Play Box, which is now sort of available at heydad.com, where it's like, okay, well, what if we built like a whole superhero themed experience?
Okay.
And what if we built a whole experience where we're building stuff out of PVC and we create a bunch of games out of it, or indoor camping or space or all of these other like a little bit more imaginative, a little bit more structured type of experiences where I just know now sort of the flow of the way things are going to go. And all I have to do is like stay checked in and stay really excited. And my kids are going to be right there with me.
That's really great. I love that. I only was familiar that you had the podcast. So I'm sorry, I didn't even know about all this part. So tell me more.
No. Yeah. Well, let me tell you about it. So heydad.com, I guess Heydad in general is two things. One of them is the podcast, which we I'm sure can talk about a little bit more, which is just sort of a conversation for, by, about dads and trying to approach it from a very sort of honest and silly, not taking ourselves too seriously perspective.
And it's you and your brother and your dad, right?
It's so it's me and my two brothers and our best friend, Derek.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was confused.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. And three of us are dads and one of us is not a dad. And a lot of the conversations that we try to have sort of try to bridge the gap, because I know a lot of us have friends that aren't dads, or, and there's a lot of that, like all the big things that happen between being a not a dad and being a dad that sort of change you fundamentally, and having someone who's not a dad in the room to kind of call BS on things and sort of ask the quote unquote stupid questions is really helpful. So that's one piece of it. But the other piece, and if that piece, I guess, is more about dads feeling known and making him laugh and feel understood, the other piece is meant to be really practical, which are these this subscription box product that we've built now. And so what it is once a month, we send you a box, and it is like a whole 60, 90 minute experience that you have with you and your kids. And it comes with an instruction video that you watch. And the instruction video is like, I don't know if your kids have ever gotten into the like whole weird subculture of like YouTube unboxing videos where like,
not yet.
Oh gosh, it's the worst. It's like adults and or kids just like opening and talking about and playing with toys. It's this, just stay away from it as long as you can. But
it
kids
sounds
love it.
Terrible. Okay.
It's super weird, but it sort of like mimics that a little bit in that like you open this, you watch a real dad and a real kid sort of open the box and experience the box. And then you get to do that with your dad. And so
you're telling me you've become part of the problem. You've become part of the
100%.
Unboxing problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's really bad until it benefits us. And then all of a sudden it's really good. And so, so in the box, it'll be like I mentioned earlier, like we have this whole superhero experience, and that's month one. And in the box is each, the dad and the kid each get a mask, and the kid gets a cape. And then you do this whole, we call it Hey Dad Libs, where you do your, you create your origin story as a superhero via Mad Libs. And then you build this little city, and then you like take this adorable laydown photo where the kid is flying above the city. And then the dad builds this like obstacle course that has this laser field and all these other things. And we call it the hero's journey. And it's like the thing that the sort of the hero has to like overcome. And then the whole thing is set up with the dad being the villain and the kid being the hero. And the dad steals the kid's favorite toy. And then the kid comes and rescues it. And it's this whole like experience that a dad can have where basically what we're saying to the dad is, you don't have to have a great plan. You don't have to be creative or crafty, or you don't have to have all the right stuff in your junk drawer, or you don't have to like mine through Pinterest. All you have to do is open the box, watch this video, and you'll feel like an amazing dad for an hour and a half.
You know, and because the kids love doing things over and over, they're going to want to do the same thing again. So you can be successful really all month long with the superhero thing.
Oh my gosh. It's almost like you're writing our marketing copy for us. Yeah. That, that thing very much has been, as we've been beta testing this with dads over the last like year and a half, that's been the biggest piece of feedback that we've gotten is like, for example, there's another one that's all about racing, and you'd sort of build this racetrack with tape all around your house. And it's like, we've had this racetrack up in our house for 10 days. And like every morning my kid gets up and this is like what they want to do. Huh. And so there's the really practical side of things, obviously, which is just, we want to resource dads to like have basically confidence delivered to their doorstep once a month that like, I have this great experience. But there's also the really like the real reason we're doing this, this thing that like gets us out of bed every morning working on this, which is that like quality time with kids and dads is so fundamental to the identity of a kid and to the identity of a dad. Yeah. And like, if we can create confident, engaged, involved dads, or basically help dads be the dad they already want to be, just give them the tools and the resources and the environment to be successful. Yeah. And we have all these kids that like, they know that dad likes me and dad likes hanging out with me and create, you know, that emotional intimacy or help create that between dads and kids. Like, that is just so flipping important.
Oh my gosh. Like, even as you say it, like my dad, bless him, he had some stuff he was working through. Not always that well, but he didn't know how to connect with me. And so I was left to try to do all the connecting. And when that didn't work, cause there was just other things that he had going on that he was struggling with. And it just, you feel like, oh my gosh, like you didn't naturally want to be around me. And I even like tried my very best to make you want to be around me and that still didn't work. So it's almost like two things.
What's wrong with me?
So right. But then when you think about it now as a parent, I realized like he probably just didn't know what in the actual world he was supposed to do. And so it feels easier to not do anything.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think something we have to keep in mind is that it feels like there's a movement of like a bigger cultural moment that we're in where for a whole variety of reasons, women that are working more, job flexibility in the gig economy, and just a whole bunch of things, like the idea of something resembling equal co-parenting is more and more of a thing, but you've got all these men that like, we're just behind. We've got thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of years of like cultural inertia that just sort of says moms are supposed to be prepared to be moms, like from a very young age. And we're reinforcing all of the qualities in them that will make them good moms, almost too much so, from a very young age, and sort of maybe even pigeonholing women and saying, this is what you are and this is how you bring value, which I think it seems like we're starting to move past that, which is great. But for dads, being a dad has been seen as more of like an optional or ancillary part of what it means to be a man.
Well, and not to mention y'all are portrayed as such a bunch of idiots in culture.
Oh my gosh.
I hate that.
It's the doofy dad, like well-intentioned idiot. Like he tries, but like mom's the one who really knows what's going on. Yeah. And so I don't want to paint dads as the victims here because there's so much more work that we have to do. But I do want to acknowledge the uphill cultural battle that we're fighting. And when you're talking about your dad, a lot of that is like he probably just didn't feel equipped. Like he didn't know how to connect with you. And part of what we want to do is acknowledge that a lot of men in general, they connect through play and fun. And like maybe they're not always as good at saying it. And maybe they're not always as good at nurturing. But they are, a lot of men I know are pretty good at like being silly and playing. And if we can create that environment, I think that'll create more confident dads. And like we'll start a cycle of confidence and engagement that actually helps dads be better dads independent of whatever they're doing with Hey Dad, just because they feel more confident and more engaged. And hey, I can do this. And maybe as we're sending something to them once a month, they're starting to think for themselves like, oh, you know what? I could come up with something like this on my own.
Yes.
And like, that's the real win.
So what's the feedback been?
I mean, it's been so encouraging and fun and great. It's like the feedback that we get a lot is like beta testers, because we've had the podcast going since October or November. Okay. And as a part of the podcast, you know, we say, hey, go to heydad.com and you can give us your email. And that's part of how you can become a beta tester. Okay. So there's all these people. We started with beta testers that we knew. But the beta testing feedback that's been most interesting to me is people that we have zero connection to that we've never met. Okay. And we have dads that are like sending me emails of their kids, videos of their kids, like saying like, when's the next box coming? And, you know, stuff of them like playing with their kids. And it's been overwhelmingly positive. And I think part of that, you know, is because we have a product that we're really proud of that we've worked really hard on. Mm-hmm. But another part of that is just because there's not really anything like this. Like anything else out there that's about like some box for your kids, it's usually about, here's how you teach them STEM stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's great. I'm all about it. But I don't have this core fundamental need to like teach my 4-year-old the fundamentals of biology. I want him to learn that. But really, I want to just have fun with them. Like, yeah, just play for the sake of play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that everybody's really resonating with is like, oh my gosh, this is actually fun. And because we're orienting the activities around dad and everything we're talking about with like, as my wife and I will develop the products together, there's a lot of things that would be fun for kids. There's a much smaller list of things that will be intrinsically fun for dads.
Right.
And that's where we're trying to like orient all of this is like, I want a dad to actually think this is fun, not just that it's fun because they're doing it with their kid.
Yes. That is so neat. I'm really excited about this. I'm actually kind of excited that I didn't know about it until you started talking about it because I'm so excited. That's great.
That's awesome.
I've been using a new skincare line called BioClarity, and I wanted to tell you about it. It's clean, green, it's gentle, 100% vegan, and cruelty-free. It's also got this plant product called Floralux. It's made from chlorophyll. Floralux is proven to nourish the skin and soothe away imperfections and blemishes. It's an antioxidant, it's anti-inflammatory, all that good stuff. It's basically like a green juice drink, but for your face. I've been using the Essentials routine lately. It's for normal to dry skin. There's 3 steps: cleanse, restore, and hydrate. There's chamomile in it, green tea, cucumber, licorice root, plus that Floralux from chlorophyll ingredient that I was telling you about earlier. It's lightweight, but really hydrating. So it's great for spring and summer. My experience with it is that it has made my skin less red and my skin tone looks more even. Get started on healthier habits with your skincare. Just go to bioclarity.com. Mom Struggling Well listeners are going to get their first month for half off, plus the shipping is free. It comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee, but you have to enter my code MSW. That's bioclarity.com and enter my code MSW. Okay, so you mentioned that it's kind of tricky for a guy to balance like work and home life when there's so much pressure at work. My husband, you know, he battles this all the time and he works from home. And so if he could, he would just stay in there and keep working so that he could be successful at work because that's important so that we can have like a house and food, you know. But then he has to say no to, or he chooses to say no to things that would further his career because he knows there's really no end to that. And if he wasn't there, someone else would do it, but there's nobody else there to parent his kids. But that's a much harder choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get as much, I mean, there's not really accolades, really, you know what I mean, as far as that goes, at least right now. Anyway, so talk to me about how you navigate that and how you would encourage maybe even a wife to encourage her husband. Is that something you feel like you can talk about? I don't know. It's hard.
No, totally. My wife and I talk about this a lot, and I'm by no means an expert at this. And I fight that same fight that your husband fights. Part of it, which I think you hit on, my wife and I always refer to it as work points.
Okay.
Like there is such a thing as work points, and like they're not actual, obviously, points unless you're whatever, like a professional athlete or something. but it's just, there's like a relational capital that you can build by staying late, by over preparing for a meeting. And then there obviously are like promotions and bonuses and raises and all of that that are very quantifiable. But that is so tempting, I think, for so many men. Because I think if we're being really honest with ourselves, and I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for me, it is simpler to lean into that and feel like I'm doing my job, quote, providing for my family, when really what I'm actually doing is avoiding things that I don't feel as good at. Like for a lot of men in whatever in their career, especially a lot of men at the stage of their career when they've got kids, which is usually a little bit later, you've started to find your lane at work. You're hopefully, at least you feel good at your job, at least in some respects at your job. Mm-hmm. And so I think for any human being, it's really tempting not to just lean into the things that you feel good at that make you feel good. And I know a lot of my friends, they feel better at their job than they do at being a dad. And so it's easy to lie to yourself and tell yourself that this is really about providing for your family when really it's about avoiding the chaos of a house with toddlers. And like you said, I'm not really going to get any points or credit or whatever at home. And I don't feel that great at it. And at best, we're just kind of treading water most of the time. Like a lot of times there aren't these big milestones. It's just like a really good day is like, hey, we got the kids to bed. We had fun with them. It was drama free and our house is relatively clean. That's like a huge win on a normal night.
Absolutely.
I think it's really tempting. And I think what I have tried to do myself is to always, always, always ask the question, why? Because it's easy to just to run the wrong race. It's easy because you're sort of surrounded by feedback loops that will, you know, work will always ask more of you, always. Yeah. Like I've never been in a work environment where with any sort of consistency, they're like, hey, you gave enough today, go home and don't check your email tonight.
Yeah.
And so therefore it's incumbent upon me to say, okay, why am I alive today? What is the limit of what I can do at work that where I can be faithful to whatever calling I have at work and do my absolute best there? And then with confidence, draw that line and be like, okay, but the main reason I have a job is to take care of this group of people that I chose to spend my life with.
So how does that work? Like on a practically, I mean, everybody's job's different, but how do you, yeah, I don't really know what I'm asking.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think I can just talk about it for me. I think for me, a lot of it is about sort of two things. Like number one, at the end of the day, where am I drawing the line and how am I specifically protecting the time between when I get home and the kids go to bed?
Okay.
And a lot of that is like putting my phone in the other room or just keeping it away. I'm not as good at that as I should be. That's a constant battle for me. But at least for me, the phone at the end of the day, because someone can't hit me up on Slack or send me a text or send me an email if my phone's in the other room.
Yeah.
And a lot of it for me actually too is realizing that I've actually found that a lot of people at work begrudgingly respect and look up to people that set healthy work-life boundaries. Mm. Like it feels to me like those are the people that have like, that like see the Matrix. They're like Keanu Reeves at the end of The Matrix where they see everything for what it is and go like, no, work is great, but it's not everything. And so sometimes I think the beginning of that is like, there's a little bit of resentment. Like, yeah, but I sent you an email at 5 and I needed a response by 7. And you said you didn't even get it because you were at home. And then maybe the first response to that is like, I'm annoyed with you. But I've actually found that over time, people are actually like drawn to and almost jealous of people that will put work in its proper place.
Mm.
If you are choosing to be, and this is the other thing that I found once I had kids, and the second thing that I was going to mention earlier, which is I just have to be way more efficient with my time at work.
Okay.
Like I just can't mess around as much as I used to. If I'm being honest, pre-kids, I would spend an hour a day on whatever websites or social media or whatever, like honestly wasting time. And now it's like, okay, well, every minute I spend doing that here is a minute I don't get with my kids.
Yeah.
And when I view it like that, that helps a lot. So I guess my short answer would be, don't be afraid to publicly set boundaries because I actually think people will respect you for it, even if there's a little bit of pushback at the beginning, you know? And then the second thing is like being more efficient while you're at work.
That's great. I like it.
But I'm also not good at it. So figuring that one out as I go.
100%. I mean, that's why I started this podcast, because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I can't get out of this job. So I need to reach out for lots and lots of help every week. Okay. So you mentioned that a struggle that you're having with your kiddos right now is that you mentioned addiction to technology with one of them. And then one's kind of displaying some OCD tendencies. And I think a lot of kids can have that. I mean, I remember when I was little, everything had to be in fours. It's so weird.
Yep.
And I had to
weird.
Yeah. And still, if I'm going to buy apples, four. Bananas, four.
It just feels right.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember my siblings having the same thing, but so I think kids tend towards OCD a little bit, but you're talking about how to take care of some of these concerns you have with your kids without making them a big deal, but you don't also want to downplay it if it isn't actually a big deal. So talk to me about how you're dealing with those things.
Yeah. Oh, I think you just like the way you just phrased it on like, how big a deal is this? I actually think that's one of the central questions of parenting is like, I don't know how big a deal this is. Like, okay, you have a fever and it's 101.8. How big a deal is this? Like, oh, you had a runny nose, but the symptoms went away last night. Can I take you to daycare? Or like whatever, or you're being weird, or there's this tendency you're displaying. I think it's one of the sort of frustrating central struggles of parenting. Yes. The two you discussed specifically. So Julian's my middle kid, and we have like really been struggling to figure out what the appropriate place for technology is in his life.
Okay.
Because he would sit and like be on a phone or a tablet or whatever. He would do it for 10 hours a day. Like, I don't know when he would get bored.
Okay.
And what we struggle with is there's definitely a threshold after which any technology is like bad for him. Okay. But he's also exceptional at it. And it's a huge part of his self-esteem. And there's also parts of it where he'll show me, like, we've got this little Kindle Fire tablet where it's like all kid friendly and stuff. And mm-hmm. he'll show me some level he unlocked on some game that it blows my mind how he figured it out. I couldn't have figured it out. And he's 4. Hmm. And I can tell as he's showing it to me, he wants to sit next to me the whole time and narrate everything he's doing. And he's so proud of himself. And there's a part of it where I'm like, okay, that's just a different flavor of dad, look at this drawing that I did, or dad, look, I can read this word, or,
yeah.
And there's so much learning, you know, learning numbers and colors and shapes and reading and all of that. So I think for us, the thing that we're trying to set with him is to figure out, is it 30 minutes a day on weekends and that's it? You know, you get 30 minutes on Saturday and 30 minutes on Sunday, or is it, you get 10 minutes here, or is it, do we set it up as like a privilege or a reward, or do you earn technology time?
I know it.
And it seems like there are just like so many people, like everyone's got a strong opinion about this and a system that works for them. And I think this is just parenting in general. The thing that bothers me is like, there are some like fundamental things that really are applicable to all kids and help create a happy home. And then there are so many other things where it's just like, I'm really glad that works for you. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for our family.
But when it works for you, you become so passionate about it that you do not communicate it.
You can't.
As if.
You can't help it. I know.
So then so many other people are like, I'm the worst because my kids, you know, do this thing. And yeah.
Yeah. You crack the code. Why can't I crack the code?
I don't think most people have actual systems. I think people have ideas that they present as systems. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being cynical, but systems don't work that well. And I love systems, but in my house, they kind of break down.
Oh, choir. You are preaching to the choir. Totally agree. And everyone, it's like a different flavor of like whatever, like wellness blogger or like all the life you project of your family on Instagram or whatever. It's like everybody mm-hmm. always pretends to have it more together than you actually do.
100%.
And that's like why your podcast is so great. Cause you're just like, I don't, and this is what's up. And this is really how it is.
And even on Instagram, I try to make it look nicer than it is. And that's my whole premise is that
do.
It's terrible. It's not terrible,
of
but it's a mess.
You do. I know. It's so tempting. Yeah. So I guess the short answer to that question is like, we're actively trying to figure it out and try new things. And we're like testing and learning what works and what doesn't. And some days we're good at it. And other days we're just really exhausted. And the idea of him being totally distracted by his tablet for an hour is so appealing. And so
sometimes you got to make dinner. I'm so sorry.
Exactly. Sometimes you got to make eye contact with your spouse. Like sometimes totally. We're just, I don't know. And yeah. With Gideon's OCD, that's more a thing where my instinct is that he's just being a kid. And that's just how kids are. And that's sort of my wife's the same way too. Okay. But there's just a few little things that we're seeing where we're like, okay, that could be something. How do we give you the tools in a way that doesn't freak you out or make you feel like a weirdo or whatever?
Yeah.
Just give you the tools to like deal with it on your own. And again, that's another thing where we're not like reading 25 parenting books. We just know our kid really well. And we're trying to do our best to equip him to be a happy, successful little guy.
Yeah. I know with one of my kids, we ended up putting them in counseling, and I was really hesitant because I didn't want them to think there was something wrong with them. But several of my friends were like, grown-ups are the ones who think counseling means there's something wrong with you. Kids don't think that.
Oh, 100%.
And so I found that it's really, and also I'm going to counseling. So then we're both going and everything's great and we get a coffee afterwards. And so they're actually winning by the fact that
yeah,
there's
no stigma in your house because
yeah.
like mom goes too. It's just a normal thing we do. And I also think in general, it feels like counseling is getting more and more destigmatized. It's been so helpful for our family okay. as well. Like we're the biggest fans of counseling there is.
Yeah, it's really good. But yeah, it is hard to know. Like my daughter was tested for some things and came back with some pretty heavy diagnoses, and they were helpful for moving forward. But like, she doesn't know them because I don't think she needs to know them. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, she doesn't need to be labeled.
Yeah, I don't want that, but it is helpful, like because I tend to be like, just let's work harder, more efficient, let's wake up earlier, let's, you know, I don't know, be more disciplined and then it'll be fine. And so we actually went from homeschooling for 6 years and it was terrible. But I'm a teacher and so, and I love school. So this should work for us. But it was like torture for everybody in our house. And so now that we're in public school, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, so pushing harder is not always the best choice. Anyway, so that only took me 6 years to learn.
Oh, yeah. Just a breeze. I mean, if that isn't like every parenting lesson, it's always like by the time your kids are grown, you're like, oh, I would be such a good parent now.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh. It's so humbling. You guys, it is no secret that summer stresses me out. Part of that is the fact that I really want my kids to eat healthy, but I'm just having a hard time finding ways to break up all their fights and keep my house clean and make sure that there is a healthy meal on the table. That's why I really do love Prep Dish. It saves me tons of time, brain power, and it saves me from the drive-thru. We don't have the money to eat out all the time, and this way I know there's already mostly finished meals for the week in the refrigerator. I just have to do a couple more things the day of cooking, and it's done. This week we're having garlic butter chicken. There'll be lemon blueberry muffins. And for a snack, chocolate bliss energy bites. I love when Allison puts energy bites on the list. So Allison, the founder, is offering listeners of the Mom Struggling Well podcast a 2-week free trial just to try it out. You can't beat that. All you have to do is go to prepdish.com/MSW for this amazing deal. Again, that's prepdish.com/MSW for your first 2 weeks, all for free. This is kind of a no-brainer, you guys. Okay, so Kevin, I want you to tell me about your podcast. There's like 7 gajillion mom podcasts, which is, I almost didn't start one because I'm like, there's enough of us. But, you know, I did it anyway. So tell me about your podcast and how that's going and all that.
Yeah, so the podcast is my 3 brothers and I and our best friend. And we talk about dad stuff. And the sort of the vibe that we want in this podcast is we just want to be like normal dudes that have kids that talk about it. And I know that doesn't sound very revolutionary, but I don't want advice. I don't want a system. I don't want to listen to other people tell me how to parent. And also, I don't want either side of the like dad stereotypes where on one end there's like doofy, stupid dad that doesn't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But like the new thing is I hear people talk about like dads that are superheroes and like, look at super dad and he's doing preschool drop off and changing diapers. And like, really, it's just dads getting all this extra credit for doing like normal parenting things. And
yeah.
Talking about it like we discovered parenting and like I hate it. It feels really like patronizing of dads where it's like, no, this is just what we do. And this is how we're still people. Like we're still the same people we were before we had kids. We still want to laugh about stuff. We still are engaged in pop culture. But like now we have these kids that are like a gigantic part of our lives and discussing the like absurdities and funny parts of how we've tried to like weave all of that together.
Yeah.
It seems to be like relatively useful. And then sometimes we do sort of stumble into conversations where we are like really talking about technology or we're really talking about like, how do you be a successful dad on vacation? Like let's laugh about that for a while. And then let's like actually talk about like, how could we be better at this?
That's
and it's
good.
Not like, here's the hey dad system. If you do these 4 things, you'll be a better dad. It's just like us trying to figure it out and not take ourselves too seriously. And then a lot of times we also play stupid games. My favorite one is Derek. We call BuzzFeed real or fake. And where he'll go to the BuzzFeed parenting section, he'll find 1 real headline and then he will make up 3 fake headlines. And then we try to guess which one is real or fake.
Okay.
And I can't tell if it's because BuzzFeed is so crazy or if it's because Derek is so good at this. But we are so bad at guessing the real one.
That's hysterical.
Just that whole. So we play stupid games like that and just try to, you know, make it fun. But honestly, I think we've gotten a lot of crazy good feedback about it and it's grown really fast. But we always talk about how we would, even if nobody listened, we would just do it anyway because we have so much fun doing it.
Well, I mean, and that's why it's getting good feedback, right? Because dads want other dads to talk about this stuff with and still feel like a normal guy who is still a person who is not 100% just a dad, but being a dad is still really important. That's great. So you started in May?
We started October, November. And it's called the Hey Dad Podcast, H-E-Y-D-A-D.
Do you have a job other than Hey Dad? or not right
I
now?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. Yeah. I work at GoFundMe.
Oh, okay. You are busy.
I am.
Because I know for a fact, podcasting is so much more labor intensive than people think.
It is. Yeah. Our life is extremely full right now and probably a little too full. So trying to figure out the like Hey Dad product and podcast and my wife works and I work and all of that. Yeah, it's a lot, but hopefully it won't be a lot forever.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like though, because this podcast takes so long and then I, you know, I'm speaking places and all that. And I think I always know if I'm being a good mom for the purpose of my mom podcast. It's just a little bit mind bending sometimes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have that crisis of meaning about once a week. The part of the reason why Hey Dad was so appealing is like, I've started stuff before. I've sort of been around startups and entrepreneurs for most of my career. And I have basically spent the last 5 years trying on about 100 different business ideas.
Okay.
And I had a pretty high bar that I wanted. And when I say trying on, I mean like having an idea, talking about it with my wife, thinking about it for a few weeks, not like actually starting something.
Doing it. Yeah. Yeah.
But I had a pretty high bar for what I wanted this thing to be. And one of the things that I almost didn't even know if it was possible is, can whatever I'm doing actually enhance the quality of my life at home?
Yeah.
And not just like not take away from the quality, but
no,
actually
it's different.
Make it better.
Yeah.
And so that's the coolest part about Hey Dad is when my wife and I were talking about really going for it. One of the things we sort of landed on was like, okay, well, worst case scenario, you will have had this conversation about being a dad, which is going to force you to be more intentional about who you are as a dad, and your identity as a dad is going to be top of mind for you a lot. Mm-hmm. And very practically, like we test the stuff that ends up in the box, the very, very early stages of that testing for boxes that are like 10 months away, 11 months away right now are like happening in my house this week where I'm just trying stuff out with my kids. And so because of that, to be good at my job, to like do testing for the product we're trying to build, I have to spend all this time with my kids and be like watching them and be going like, are you having fun right now? How would this be more fun for you? And am I having fun right now? And that's a luxury that most people won't get. Mm-hmm. But I'm cognizant of what a blessing that is and very much trying to lean into that. And so, yeah I am trying to figure out in the midst of all this busyness, how am I a great dad? But a lot of the busyness is directly connected to my identity as a dad. And I think that's the only reason it works.
Yes. Good. My husband actually, and he didn't mean this rudely, but he said, you are such a better mom than you used to be before this show.
Like, oh, no. My wife has said that to me too. 100%.
So good. It's encouraging.
Yeah.
Okay. So I need to move into a lightning round now. There's 0 points will be awarded, but I still need you to answer as fast as you can because it's funnier.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I will stream of consciousness.
Great. Your largest mistake in the kitchen.
Oh, my largest mistake in the kitchen is not going in there enough.
Okay. Like what have you cooked though that really didn't go well?
See, I just wish I had a good answer for that. I would actually say I was thinking about this morning. I feel like I'm really engaged cleaning. I'm really engaged with the kids. I'm really helpful. I have to cook more. I basically make like eggs and bacon and pancakes. Oh, here you go. My Mickey Mouse pancakes, I don't know if there's anything easier than Mickey Mouse pancakes. Yeah. My Mickey Mouse pancakes look like some abominable creature that Shoot. I'm so bad at it. And my 4-year-old makes fun of me.
Oh,
this doesn't look anything like Mickey, Dad.
I love it. Are you pouring it with a measuring cup or how are you trying to get it on there?
How hard can it be to make 3 circles that connect, right? Like that's pretty much what I do with a measuring cup, but it doesn't work. I'm horrible at it.
You should let the 4-year-old try it.
Yeah, he'd probably be better than me.
Okay. What's the most ridiculous thing someone has tried to trick you into believing?
Oh, I mean, go on the internet at any time and they'll try to convince you that the earth is flat.
True. Oh, yeah, that is a new. I do have a family member who is pretty sold on that.
It's crazy pants. I don't understand.
We have pictures of the other way. We have pictures of proof that it's not, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, flat earthers is a pretty good one. Or there's just all sorts of political arguments on both sides that are crazy that try to get made to me all the time. So,
okay. Yeah.
I would say that. Or just Julian, my 4-year-old, every day trying to convince me that his mom, my wife, told him that he could have the tablet. Okay. Every time she's out of the room.
So funny. I love it.
Thinking I'm not going to fact check him somehow.
Yeah, exactly. I know it. Okay, so what that you can think of is the closest thing to actual magic?
Ooh, the closest thing to actual magic.
Mm-hmm.
So Google, at their latest, sorry, this is going to be a tech answer because it's the world I live in.
Yeah.
At their latest big developer conference, they showcase something called Google Duplex.
Okay.
Where, you know, like right now you can like talk to Alexa or Google Assistant and be like, play me some music or, you know, read me this recipe or start a timer or whatever. Now, and I don't know if it's released to the public yet, you could say, hey, Google, schedule me a haircut appointment between 10 and 12 on Tuesday.
No.
And a person will receive a phone call. And who they're talking to is the Google AI, essentially a robot, and they have no idea that they're talking to this robot.
No.
And the robot will put in like ums and ha-has and like all these little weird speech things that real people do, and also deal with like, oh, okay, well, like I watched a demo where they were trying to schedule a restaurant reservation and the person picking up the phone could barely speak English and didn't understand half of the things, and it still worked. It's crazy pants. It's straight up magic.
And it's called Duplex?
Google Duplex is what it's called internally. I don't know what it's going to be called when it's released. It's probably just going to be a part of your Google Assistant. It's probably just going to be OK Google, like everything else is.
That is lunacy. I can't believe it.
It's like really cool and super terrifying all at once.
Yeah, that is the closest thing to real magic. OK, yep. I love that. All right. What is the most interesting thing that you have seen or read this week?
Ooh, I am obsessed right now with this TV show called Ugly Delicious that's on Netflix. It's this guy named David Chang, and it's like a food show for people that aren't pretentious about food, but like love it.
Okay.
And he's this crazy successful restaurateur and like always like push the envelope in a bunch of cool ways. He was like the first one to do like a delivery only restaurant, like that you literally can't go there.
Oh.
And he did it in New York, and he's done like 30 restaurants, but each episode is centered around a different kind of food.
Okay.
Like the first episode is pizza. The second episode is tacos. And he does everything. Like in the first episode, he like travels to Italy and then he tells you how he thinks the best piece of pizza he's ever had is in Tokyo and does all the stuff about the history of pizza. And he also talks about how he legit loves Domino's. And he goes and like delivers Domino's and talks about how cool he thinks Domino's is.
I was going to say, how do you love food and not be pretentious about it? But that's how you do it. Love Domino's.
He probably hates Pizza Hut. Like he's actually talking about Domino's specifically and how he thinks it's really great. And he's just got this like, I don't care what you think of me attitude. Like I think his quote was like some critic told me that I couldn't talk about Domino's on my show. And then he was like, all right, cool. I'm going to lead with it. Like he's just like, no one tells me how to love food. And anyway, there's a part of that. And it's also just like really creative and beautifully shot.
Neat.
It's got all the like artistry of Chef's Table without any of the pretense, which I really appreciate.
Cool. And what's it called again?
It's called Ugly Delicious.
Oh, wow. Okay. My husband and I love cooking. That would be so fun. Okay.
Oh, also, sorry, really quick. I have to say this. The other thing, I'm so behind on this because it came out so long ago, but I just saw The Greatest Showman.
Yeah. And, what do you think?
Oh, it made me feel things. And I'm now obsessed with Hugh Jackman.
There you go.
I watched all these behind the scenes videos of him, and he just seems like the sweetest, best man. And he's been married to this woman that like looks like a real human being for like 25 years. That's like his age. And they're in love, and he's my hero.
That's all revolutionary, right?
I know. It's like shouldn't be as revolutionary as it is,
I know,
but it is.
So sad. That's great. I love it. Yeah, I'm trying to get my husband to watch it, and he's like, oh, I'm sure it's really great. But he doesn't like the singing. But it's so good.
Listen to them sing This Is Me and try not to feel something. It's impossible.
I know it. That's so good. All right, so finally, last question. What is something you cannot stop talking about right now?
There's a book series called, and this is like probably very nerdy.
Okay.
It's called Red Rising.
Okay.
And it's basically a better version of Hunger Games in space.
Oh,
in the future. And it is incredible. It's my favorite, other than Harry Potter. See, I'm just showing you what a big nerd I am.
No, listen, we love Harry Potter in my house.
So other than Harry Potter, I think J.K. Rowling is like, I think that's like, Harry Potter is like literature in the form of young adult novel. Like that's how brilliant I think Harry Potter is.
So good.
Other than Harry Potter, Red Rising is my favorite other book series I've ever read. And I just finished, book 4 just came out and book 5's coming out in a few months, and it's incredible.
So do you usually like things in space and in the future?
Yeah, maybe in the future. I usually like some mix of like sci-fi and fantasy. It's hard for me to get into the books where they spend like 200 pages describing the history of the forest. And like they try to create this whole big like world where I can't follow that. But I sort of vacillate back and forth between like spiritual or businessy, like very practical books and crazy fantasy science fiction books.
So is this also like young adult or it's?
Yeah, totally young adult, which I think is a genre that gets unfairly maligned because I think some of the best writers in the world are writing young adult right now.
Well, and my daughter and I are almost done reading Harry Potter together. And so we need something else. So that would be good.
Well, I would say Red Rising is definitely more violent. Like it's young adult. I would read it yourself first. I don't know what your daughter can handle.
She's quite violent. Just kidding.
But it's violent. And so I like,
Okay.
We're also good. like we haven't even read like Narnia to our 6-year-old yet. We're like pretty protective of those things.
Yeah, but, no, that's good. I'll at least read it.
But myself. I also can't wait.
Fun. Yay. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for talking to me today. Really fun.
Thank you so much for having me. Let me just say, if you are a mom and you're listening to this podcast because you don't feel seen or understood, and maybe you're doing it by yourself, or maybe your husband isn't as engaged or involved as he should be, I don't know how much it matters to hear it from some random stranger guy, but what you're doing is so fundamentally important to everything. And it's worth pouring yourself out for, and it's worth being exhausted and overwhelmed and breaking down in the car crying after drop off because you're so tired, or whatever your story is, keep going. It's so, so, so worth it.
I love that. And I think if a listener doesn't have a husband that's involved, that means a whole lot. So thank you.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that perspective from a husband, from a dad. It's probably similar to what some of y'all's husbands think, but it's usually easier to hear things from not your own husband sometimes, you know? So how can we struggle well based on what Kevin said? I'm going to give you a couple ideas. All right. So maybe your strategy to struggle well this week could be, I mean, number one, tell the dads in your life about the Hey Dad podcast. Tell them about heydad.com in the subscription box. I really believe in this product and would love to have us all gather around them and launch this thing well. Kevin's offering $10 off a box with the coupon code MSW. And if you order it like now, you can get it in time for Father's Day. So if you haven't got a gift yet, I would really recommend that. So heydad.com, coupon code MSW. So Kevin talked about creating environments where he could be successful as a dad, which is what this Hey Dad box does. So I think one of the sweetest things we could do for our husbands would be to set them up for success if playing with kids is not something they feel confident in, or you're seeing them do other things instead of engage. It really may be because they just don't exactly know what to do. But turning it towards like you, what could you do this week to create an environment for yourself to be successful? I know for me, if things are out of place, it really hurts my eyeballs. I wish that I could just not look at it or not notice it, but I can't. And so one thing that helps me be successful is if I keep my room kind of clean or at least picked up, then I don't feel like such a out of control person. I know that seems so silly, but my counters in my kitchen need to be clean so that I can be a decent human. So what can you do if there's something that keeps popping up and it bugs you all the time? Start a habit of fixing that one thing so that you can have an environment that makes you successful. Maybe after hearing this perspective from Kevin, you just go tell your husband, thanks for all the work you do. Thanks for choosing us when you do choose us. So maybe this week you struggle well by letting your husband know how much you appreciate all the work that he does do. Maybe if you don't have a husband who is around, either because he can't be or because he chooses not to be, maybe you struggle well this week by really trying to pour into the identity of your kiddo, because it really does make a difference if they see you loving being around them. And it's hard, man. As I record this, I can hear my kids being super loud outside my little closet. I don't want to go out there. It's going to be loud. It's going to be messy. But I'm going to turn this recording off. I'm going to go out there and engage. And I hope that you will do the same thing this week. Real quick before we go, though, I'm going to bring my sister Katie back on to talk about what you guys are buying using the Mom Struggling Well Amazon affiliate link.
What did you find on Amazon this week?
So I found these Twig graphite pencils.
Yeah.
Did you find the same ones?
I found the same ones.
Okay. So let's just talk about who do you think bought these?
Well, I did see some people saying they bought them for a woodland themed baby shower.
I know. That was impressive that people even have those.
Like, dang, girl. Did it up.
I know, buying special pencils. Like, what kind of pencils are we going to use at this baby shower? You know, I just scrounge out of the junk drawer for pencils. I felt like maybe, like, a cool nature mom who was, like, going to do some picking up leaves and making rock sculptures. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, I found a 2-star review that made me laugh so hard. It said, well, I found better ones at the Burlington Coat Factory. The Burlington Coat Factory cracks me up. Like, such a strange name for a store that is more than just coats.
They're more than just crate. Oops. We're more than great coats.
That was good.
You're
second
welcome.
Time's a charm. Is that, I didn't even know that they had a...
Yeah, because everyone's like, all they do is coats. No, they don't. They do woodland pencils.
Calm down. Got some pencils. Also, do they factor the coats themselves? Because I feel like it's like Cheesecake Factory. They don't even make their own cheesecakes.
They don't?
No.
Aww.
Sorry. Okay, and then a 3-star review of these graphite pencils said, the pretentiousness.
Same.
But fun.
But fun. I like the title of that one was LOLs. I love that.
Oh, gosh. I hate LOLs.
Oh, it makes me laugh. Yeah. It makes me laugh when people say it in real life, not when they type it.
Are you anti-LOL like I am?
I'm not an LOL person. If I say LOL, I never say LOL, but you made me LOL. I can't just say it.
Okay, just like throwing it around. I can't either. Okay, so if you want to support the show at no cost to yourself, you can go to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell and then make your normal purchases. It doesn't cost you anything extra. You can see on that page all the recommendations of me and my guests, and anything you buy using that affiliate link doesn't even have to be a recommendation. Just go to that and do your normal Amazon shopping. It helps support the costs associated with hosting the show and all the things that go into a podcast that I didn't even know about until I started my own podcast. So, all right, I am going to just send us out with a prayer before we get going on this week. Lord, being a parent is no joke. It's the funnest, it's the hardest, it's exhausting, it's inspiring. But Lord, sometimes if we feel like we don't know how to do it, we just want to kind of zone out. Lord, would you please help us to stay engaged? Would you please help us to support our husbands as they stay engaged? God, would you help all of the parents to have a right understanding of the gravity and importance of our roles? Not so that we'll be afraid of messing it up, but so that we will take it seriously and steward the souls in our home well. Lord, thank you that you are good to us and want us to succeed because you've put us in these positions and you want it to go well for us and bring glory to you. So thank you that when we partner with you and depend on you, you will always bless that. Pray for the moms this week, all kinds of extra encouragement and endurance to do this mom thing well. In Jesus' name, amen.